You're listening to the Morning Brew with Stu Podcast, and here's your host, Stuart Brooking.
And here we go. Welcome to the Morning Brew with Stu. As always, I'm your host, Stuart Brooking. I actually have two guests today. One of them, listen, no stranger to the podcast. It's the one, the only, Jeff Hunt. The other one, making, you know, he's been on the podcast a lot, but I would say it's kind of a rare appearance. You know, he hasn't been on in a while, but he always comes with good insight and good opinions. That's my boy, Mo Murphy. Mo, welcome back to the show, my guy.
Yeah, bro. Glad to be here. And then you and Jeff, oh, man, I know this is going to be a great conversation.
All right, so it's an NFL playoff show. We're going to recap. We're going to run through kind of a recap of Wild Card Weekend, preview the divisional round, and then we're going to make our picks and see how many of us are how crazy we actually are. I didn't do too bad last week. I went 4-2. The Browns and the Cowboys kind of effed me over on those. So, you know, it is what it is. But let's start off with the first game of the Wild Card Weekend. It was supposed to be Bills and Steelers, but it wound up being Jeff's team, the Miami Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs, and that one took place on the cock. I'm talking about Peacock there. I wanted to pull a you know, Maurice Jones-Drew NFL Network type thing. You know what I'm talking about. But anyways, here's the thing. I said, I don't know if you guys listened to my podcast last week or not, but I said this coming into it, that there was too much talk about this being the worst Kansas City team Patrick Mahomes ever played on. This is the, he's never had to play on the road, or he's never had to do this, or he's never had to do that. And, you know, Mahomes this, Mahomes that, like, everybody was counting that Patrick Mahomes. And I said it last week, for as long as 15 has a pulse, can throw the football, and isn't 40-something years old, I got faith in Patrick Mahomes leading the Kansas City Chiefs to as far as he wants to take them. And Miami's shown some weaknesses in those types of things, and they exploited it. It was a cold game. It was a miserable game. But for me, I think doubting Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City was a mistake. But, Jeff, what did you see as the Dolphins fan from that side of things?
Just what I expected. You know, Tua, that's it. Like, that's as good as you're going to get from Tua in those conditions. The fact that they stole a touchdown early, I was actually dramatically surprised at how well they played early in that game in the cold. You know, they're completely depleted on defense. You can't win with, honestly, I think that's their 5 of their 6 best defensive players out of the game. Like, you know, it's just not the way it's going to be in those conditions. You know, at Arrowhead, a place where the Chiefs, you know, nobody knows how to win better at home, you know, over the last few seasons in the playoffs than the Chiefs. And then, like you said, at Mahomes, I said it, you know, me and Chris and Mo did a show earlier in the week, and I said it right then and there. He's at legend status. He can win any game that he's in. I don't care about the supporting cast. I don't care about – actually, I thought the Chiefs defense played pretty good this year. And so I thought for, you know, a game when Miami's offense was going to be so handicapped because of the weather anyway, that I really thought the Chiefs defense was the difference in the game. Like, it was never in doubt to me. And Mahomes is a dude who can play in any condition under any circumstances. You know, I said it. I'm not saying he's going to win every game, but I know he has a chance to win every game. And to me, that was a no-brainer. You know, I'm close to the Dolphins. So, you know, I watch them a lot, study them a lot. I knew what was going to happen. It wasn't a big surprise. Dolphins still had a successful season, in my opinion. Things just fell apart towards the end. And Tua's got limitations when you see Patrick Mahomes and Tua on the same field, you realize the drastic difference between a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a guy.
Real quick before you go, Mo, my mistake. Actually, the first game of the Wild Card Weekend was Cleveland-Houston. I messed that one up, but we'll go back to that.
Oh, it's all good. This.
What was your thoughts, Mo, on this Kansas City-Miami game?
Man, I didn't expect much different. It was a cold weather game. I don't think this was an indictment. All right. We're all three here Patrick Mahomes fans. We all think he's in that legendary status. He can win any game.
Yep.
I don't think a lot of people doubted the Chiefs in this game, though. Even leading up to it, everybody was picking the Chiefs, like, because they knew it wasn't really about can the Chiefs show up to the moment. It was just, we know the Dolphins are bad in this situation. Outside, it's negative degrees. They don't play good in the cold. They don't ever play good when they go to New England. They don't play good when they go to Buffalo. Like, they don't play good when they have to travel within their own conference. You know, when they got to play the Jets, when they got to go up there to the Meadowlands, they don't really play that good when it's cold. So I didn't think Kansas City would do as good as they did offensively. Like, I didn't think Rashee Rice would, you know, break a record. I didn't think Travis Kelce would show up. Not saying that, like, he would fold, but just he's been missing for a few weeks. So I didn't think some of those guys would show up. I just thought in a low-scoring, cold affair, like, Kansas City, we've been here, we've done this, was going to win the game, which essentially was what it was for the longest. Kansas City pulled away, but I'm not surprised. Like, this is where how everybody feels about Patrick Mahomes can be cemented this weekend. Like, we giving Mahomes all this praise, right? But he's only played at home. Like, he's only played at home in the playoffs unless he was in the Super Bowl. So, like, now he has to go on the road and play the Buffalo Bills, who is a team that we've always considered in his way. But now he has to go to their house and do it. So that's my only thing about Mahomes is I think, man, if he win this game, even if he don't win the Super Bowl, I think now it's like, I mean, man, he's gotten to the conference championship any which way. Like, now he's done it all any which way. Like, then it becomes, yeah, it's just like, it's not how many he has right now, it's how many can he get. And that'll be the story of his career. Like, if he could just win this game, he don't even have to win the Super Bowl this year. If he just win this game and get to another AFC championship, it's not even about how much he has. It's about how many can he get. Like, I think that's what he's going to end up chasing is it's not how much, it's how many.
I agree. I think part of the hate coming his way was, and it's a lot of the MJ with the LeBron thing is, you know, the MJ guys are very protective of MJ. And when you mention somebody else in that GOAT conversation, they get upset. If you look at a lot of people that hate Patrick Mahomes, a lot of them are Patriots fans or Tom Brady's fans who hated the fact that we called him the baby GOAT. Because for them, Tom is MJ. And, you know, Patrick is LeBron. Like, for as long as these guys exist, for as long as the NFL exists, until the world explodes or the NFL goes out of business, whichever comes first, the Tom Brady will, in their mind, forever be the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm with you. I think it's how many he's going to get. How many can he get? I think before it's all done, I think there's going to be a two-horse race for the greatest quarterback of all time. It's going to be the guy who wore number 12 and played for New England and Tampa Bay, and the guy who wears number 15 playing for Kansas City right now. So let's go to another GOAT, or future GOAT, shall I say, and
chill out.
CJ Stroud.
Stop it. You got to chill out. This is still my guy. Listen, chill out.
I drank the Joe Flacco Elite in the playoff Kool-Aid, and I missed on this one. I will say that. I'm going to take a minute, just like I do every time I talk about this guy, to toot my horn and say, when it wasn't cool to be on the CJ Stroud bandwagon, I was there. And I know it eventually.
He didn't waste 2 years of your life, Stu. I'm just going to put that out there. He didn't waste 2 years of your life.
I'm just saying.
So eventually, give me some slack.
Eventually, you know, Chris Sims had him as the number one quarterback. Everybody else did, but I was on it first. I was there when it wasn't cool. But my point, I'm not trying to get to that, but my point was, Jeff, if you remember back to the quarterback countdown list, I said he was either Joe Burrow or Jared Goff, and I thought he was leaning more towards Joe Burrow. I think he showed that a little bit this year. But I think this is more of an indictment necessarily on what the Texans have done drafting. Like, I'm a draft nerd, and there's a lot that goes into this. And I think being able to hit on guys like Jalen Petrie, being able to hit on Singletary in the defensive backfield. Obviously, we knew Will Anderson was Will Anderson. You know, C.J. Stroud was C.J. Stroud. We knew all this stuff, but being able to hit on Tank Dell and getting some of these other guys like Nico Collins and some of these others, for me, really kind of tells you this organization is turning in the right direction. Unfortunately for me as a Colts fan, I see these guys twice a year, but D'Amico was the right choice, all these types of things. And I think ultimately, Mo, this is a bright future for the Houston Texans, who in every aspect seems like they've hit a home run so far.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
Oh, okay.
So I don't fully disagree with you, but this has nothing to do with anybody but essentially CJ Stroud. Cause like everybody else that you name, we talking about them hitting on draft picks, right? But like, no, they just found their quarterback. That's essentially all it is, because Nico Collins really wasn't a name until, you know, until CJ Stroud shows up in Houston. Now Nico Collins is healthy. He's ready to go. I don't care. They coincide with each other, but still they were a connection. Noah Brown had a few big games outside of like one game with Dallas. Never really heard much about him. Tank Dell was a gem in the draft that people started falling in love with late. Falls to CJ Stroud. Two rookies get it together. You know what I'm saying? Cool. They're going to build chemistry right off rip. Quarterback, wide receiver expected to contribute right away. Rookies together. They got to go through it together. So they'll be cool. But let's say all of that. Let's say all of those dudes are there. Every last one of them. But CJ Beathard, their quarterback. Like, that's not a good team. And you wouldn't be talking about Nico Collins and Petrie. None of those draft picks would really matter. Maybe Will Anderson and Derek Stingley, because they play those premier positions where their names could be called even in blowouts. Outside of that, I don't think we would be praising. No offense to D'Amico, because he's got to be a heck of a coach to be able to come in year one, rookie quarterback. But if your quarterback's not as good as he's been, like, none of this story happens. So it does look nice, but it's all nice because you found your quarterback. So it's not a knock on anybody. It's just like, I don't think it's they hit on this and that and the other, but like, did they, like, does it matter if they don't hit on their quarterback? I guess would be more the question. I think it's more praise on Stroud than anybody, because if they don't hit on the quarterback, if CJ Stroud sucks, like, let's just say he was absolutely horrible this year, then Tank Dell and none of
did
those
you say other Bryce guys, Young?
Like, yeah, like, let's essentially say, like, he played like Bryce Young. Like, then none of those draft picks or any of that, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, because you could hit everywhere. We didn't know Nico Collins and none of those names. So it's because they hit the quarterback. So it's not like I disagree with it, but I just all those other guys, I think they're nice pieces. But if CJ Stroud isn't CJ Stroud this year, none of it matters.
Well, basically what you're saying is the Colts messed up by winning four games. I think Anthony's going to be great.
No, because we don't know. Anthony Richardson was good, though. Like, he was good. Yeah,
he was okay. He showed flashes.
Well, CJ Stroud was the most game ready quarterback. There was no question about that coming out of the draft. Ready,
but AR showed me enough. If I'm a Colts fan, he showed me enough. All I want to see is flashes as a rookie. You don't have to take me to the promised land. Not the expectation for every rookie time.
No,
well, CJ did.
I'll tell you what I told Jay Stevens earlier in the year. I'm on the train for Anthony Richardson. I was originally not. I'm on the train, but I'm towards the back, ready to hop off at any stop possible.
Oh, I'll just say this. I know, because we always do this, but random time. All the pressure's on him next year. You know that. Like, they could be looking for a new. If he's back, ready to go, come camp and. They could be looking for a new quarterback after next year if he don't take that team to the playoffs. They just for a game to get in the playoffs, and they want him to be the answer. He's seen flashes. I know he got a lot of game time taken away from him. He basically got most of his rookie year. But, like, next year, now they're going to be like, bro, we did the rest of this season without you with Garner Minshew. Like, we drafted you to be the guy. If we can't get one or two more wins.
We need one more win. Yeah,
we need one win. Like, one changes the aspect. If we can't get one more win over you than Garner Minshew, we start to have a different conversation about, you know, and then that gets lengthy because it's like, well, who's the quarterback? But stating that fact, it's not this.
The other side of that game, too, is what Mo said. The other team didn't have a quarterback and had one of the best rosters in football, and they got their teeth kicked in, you know what I mean, by an upstart team with a rookie quarterback. You know, all the stats were in Cleveland's favor, how good they were on defense. This is a historically good defense, blah, blah, blah. They were on a roll. Flacco was slinging the ball around, and they got out. A team was ready for him. D'Amico Ryans had a team ready for Flacco, took advantage of two big interceptions, and then Stroud, you know, played like a veteran, and that was it. So that's another year to where the Cleveland Browns were talking about the opposite. As of right now, they've missed on quarterback. And they're wasting a Hall of Fame career in Myles Garrett.
Well, Denzel shipped one Ward. Out that's playing.
Yeah, what I'm saying, but Mayfield wasn't it. Like, he played on the team and they didn't win. Like, what are they supposed to do? How long are they supposed to wait? But they missed on they've missed on quarterbacks. Yep. You know what I mean? They didn't ship Mayfield out with 12 wins. They shipped him out, you know, limping around and rolling around out there like a little rascal. Like, they had every right. and they brought Watson in. It hasn't worked out. So they're wasting a roster. That's to what Mo is saying. Without the quarterback, your team looks real bad. Like, you have a real bad season without a QB, and then everybody starts questioning every position. Look, Amari Cooper got better when Flacco played better. They get in that game, like, Houston was completely ready. D'Amico Ryans, you know, I would say he had a big part in it. And, you know, the Houston was more prepared. It was on turf. C.J. Stroud's going to be way better on turf. You know, me and Mo know that better than anybody. And so the Cleveland Browns, like, had a disappointing season. They came into the season with Super Bowl hopes, and they didn't win a playoff game again. Like, you know, so we're looking at the good of the Houston Texans, what they fought through to just get there and then win a game. The Browns effed up again. Like, it's another mishandling of a season by the Browns, who have, I mean, yeah, KOC out there. I mean, the defense is good. There's enough offensive talent. They weren't limping in like the Dolphins were. Like, and, you know, a Super Bowl winning playoff quarterback couldn't get it done. It was really about the Houston defense the other night, really, to me. I mean, Stroud was amazing and did what he did. And, of course, we give the quarterback credit. But that Houston defense played great and ended the game and gave Stroud an advantage. And you give that kid an advantage on turf, it's going to be trouble for a decade.
I agree. All right, let's go to a game that was played in – I mean, sure, it was played on turf, but there was also like 8,000 inches of snow. And I'm talking about the Buffalo – Pittsburgh game. Not much to really kind of talk about here. Pittsburgh, they got in. Congrats. Round of applause. Participation trophy. That's what this generation's about, so I'll give it to you. But, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, I'm ready for this week. We saw what happened the last time Mahomes and Allen met. We'll talk about it in the preview later on, but I'm excited for this week. We got that out of the way. We're done with the Mason Rudolph comparison.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. So just real quick, yeah. You guys' thoughts on this game.
No, that's it. I'm good with that. Pittsburgh was lucky to get in. Baltimore laid down the last week. They got in. Rudolph wasn't the dude. Bills were never – here's what – the only thing I took away from that game, Bills were always going to win the game. And it's another one of these things to where the Bills got up 14, and then Steelers got some momentum, so we acted like it was a game. It was a terrible game. Most of the games on Wild Card Weekend were terrible games. Like, you may like the storylines, you may like the outcomes, the home fans, you know, a lot of the home fans got to cheer. They really weren't good. The one good game, and, you know, we'll talk about Detroit, LA in a minute. But the one takeaway I have from the Bills is they still have a problem when they have complete control of a game. They got Josh Allen, a quarterback. They got a running game that's working better. And then they'll just go into the shotgun and throw it three times in a row in 20-degree weather and the wind blowing and give the other team a chance that they have no business in a game. That is going to haunt the Bills until they figure it out. I couldn't believe it. They could have kneeled on the ball for three quarters in that game and won it. And it was out there throwing it around, killing the clock. Like, they still don't have that game management and grind it out and, you know, put your foot on the throat of the other team like they should. That shouldn't have been close the other day. And I thought Mike Tomlin was childish in the press conference. I'll just throw that in there.
Yeah, especially for a guy who appears now to be coming back. So, anyways, go ahead, Mo. What are your thoughts on this game?
I don't know, man. That game kind of sucked.
It did.
Like, the game kind of sucked. I guess my only thing is that controversial, like the fake slide. And y'all know I stood on this pretty hard when Kenny Pickett did it. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
In that bowl game. When he did that fake slide, so the defender gave up, and then he didn't commit to the slide, so he ended up running for the touchdown. Like, Josh Allen essentially did the same thing. And then when he goes the slide, like, a few plays later, like, the next drive, a few plays later, like, guy hits him, because the last time we thought you was going to slide, so we gave up, didn't hit you, and you ran it all the way to a touchdown for a 51-yard touchdown. Now when we hit you, we're in a sticky wicket, so it's like, I think you got to get rid of the fake slide. If a quarterback go to fake slide, A, he down. If we're going to make it soft, like, make it soft. Because if they get hit, then, oh, well, he was about to slide. He started to commit to the slide. So I do think it's one of those, like, if they even fake slide, they're down right there. Like, if you want to make it that way, because then you're going to throw them a flag if they end up hitting them anyway and you get got, like how Josh Allen did it, like how Kenny Pickett did it. It doesn't happen enough for it to be a major issue, but when it happens on the biggest of stages, playoffs, affected outcomes, I'm not saying the Steelers lose that game because of that play, but I'm just saying, like, We get a penalty the next time we don't let that happen. But the time we let it happen, because we kind of let up a little bit, we gave up a 51-yard touchdown. So I do think you got to figure something out with this quarterback slide. If they go to fake, hey, play dead. It's got to be dead right there, because you're not allowed to hit them. It's an automatic flag if you make any type of contact with them.
Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that.
I didn't even think about that.
That's as many times as I've seen that replay, I mean, I think you're right, though, but I did not. Now, I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but I think what happened was Josh Allen realized that they let up and took off, which is essentially, whether he meant to or not, is the same thing. I hadn't even picked up on that. But probably because it's against the Steelers, and I don't care.
All right, we're going to move on to the NFC side of things now, and we're going to talk about the Lions-Rams game. And let me talk. I'm going to say something that has nothing to do with the game.
Why are you talking about the good stuff first? Get the bad stuff out the way.
I got to tease you a little bit, you know. But
because we're the only people in America not talking about the Cowboys for 24 hours afterwards.
Listen, here's my thing with this Lions-Rams game. Matthew Stafford needs to put his big boy panties on and deal with it. Here's the thing. I'll say this. I understand what he did for that city, and I get it. As a guy who loved and supported Andrew Luck, I get it. But if Andrew Luck was walking through that other side of the stadium, and I was in that stadium, and he was playing for the Chiefs or the Bills or whatever, hey, thank you for what you did, but boo right now. Because what we're trying to do is win a playoff game. It doesn't matter what you did for the city. If it was a regular season game, it's a different story. But we're talking about the playoffs. We're talking about you could end something that we waited 30 years to get, and you expect you to be coined by y'all, or however the saying goes, or whatever it is, and you expect everybody to pop margaritas for you and all this type of stuff when you demanded the trade to get out of there, and now they got a guy who was considered less than and is in the divisional round right now, and you want us to feel sorry for you that you got booed? Get over it. Grow up. Be a man. Get over it. That's how I feel.
I think he ought to be upset because they let him try to tear his head off the whole game and wouldn't throw a flag. I mean, that was the story of that game, wouldn't call.
He's getting murdered back there.
They wouldn't call any of that. They wouldn't call any of that stuff that they call every game against the Lions and whatever. That's fine. But the Lions were throwing elbows and dragging knees across heads for two quarters, and they wouldn't call. So if they don't call it, they don't call it. It is what it is. But to me, it was a good game, though. Really enjoyed it. I thought the Lions played good. It wasn't like an accident. I thought the Rams were as good. Just it was one of those games, you know.
Somebody had to lose.
The Rams should have never punted. I did not agree with that punt. Teams got to stop punting with like 4 or 5 minutes left.
Here's my thing, Jeff, and you could kind of tell me if I'm wrong. I went into this feeling about the Lions kind of how I felt about the Dolphins, where – they had shown at times throughout this year, just like the Dolphins have, that they can be explosive, that they look like a team that when clicking, just like they did the other night, they could win a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
But they had also put up games this year where you looked at them and you go, man, I don't know.
Like when Baltimore ran them out of the stadium?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know about this team. And so I wasn't sure which Lions team we were going to get heading into this. So I'm glad we got the Lions team that came out energetic, all this type of stuff. But
I thought it was a great scene. I was like, the Lions fans had – here's what I said watching that game. Good game to watch. It was actually the only good game to watch. But the Lions fans, they were having a blast. The place was roaring. Like, there was a real football atmosphere. So I was like, cool. Two teams I really don't – I'm not invested in either one. I was pulling for the Rams, but I really don't care, you know. So, like, I thought it felt like a real football game, like a real playoff game, as the other five were just awful.
All right, Mo, real quick, last thoughts before we get to the next one.
The way they let Matt Stafford get killed, come on, man. Like, they ain't called nothing. That dude got murdered. He finally had to get looked at for a concussion. I can't believe they let him go back in the game.
Yeah, that was
cooked. Crazy. But I get it. Like, they still have a fighting chance, and I know the product of the NFL will make doctors – money will make everybody make worse judgment sometimes. So I understand the stakes that were in the hands of the doctors, whether he could play or not. And if he could answer probably 2+2,
he wouldn't have played this week.
he probably wouldn't have played this week. Like, even if he would have finished the game, but it was a good game. Cool story. I mean, you know, Matt Stafford had an opportunity to ruin the Detroit Lions' happiness. So if you was that bitter, you should have went out and did it.
Yeah.
If they did boo his wife and kids, I heard that wasn't true. Like, I also saw there was a lot of.
Well, she's also like, I mean.
Well, I heard there were a lot of combative reports of people that were like, I was at the game in that section that she's talking about. Nobody was booing her and the kids. But either way, if they did do that, that's messed up. They didn't, and she lied, then, I mean, cool. Just get yourself in the headlines, I guess, was your goal for this game. But I think I'm more glad Detroit won just because I just think they make for a better matchup.
I do, too.
The possibility of going to the NFC Championship.
One thing I want to say about the
Bucs, right? Like, they
play in Tampa Bay. So you got Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff with a shot to go to the NFC Championship.
But real quick.
This ain't new to Jared Goff, though. He been there.
Yeah, he's been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, like he's been to the Super Bowl. This ain't new.
Jared Goff's a good quarterback. This big story. Couple things. So Jared Goff, like, you know, me and Stu, you can listen to our shows over the summer. Big Jared Goff fans, believe in it. Like how he's taught himself to get better and better every year. He's a legit playoff quarterback now. And another thing about Lions fans, though, is like, we don't care as much as you think we do, like about this story and all that. Like, it's cool for you guys. We don't care. Like, the rest, like, I'm not saying that. We don't care about any team. Like, we care about our own teams. Like, no, like, I don't know any casual fan. It's like, you know what? I'm just pulling for the Lions. Like, ain't nobody cares about the Lions except the Lions fans. You should. But they keep telling the story like it's some feel good story. I'm like, no, you're a good team and you want a playoff game. Like, a lot of teams do that and it takes less than 30 years for some of them. But I just want to put that out there that, like, we don't care as much about the story as they think we do. So it's not much like a team you're going to talk about here in a minute.
All right, well, let's talk about that team, America's team. I'm talking about the Green Bay Packers. Listen, my boy, y'all, I don't know about you two because I heard you guys talk about it that much, but there's a couple yappers in the group chat that like to dog on my boy from Utah State, and all he's done is throw for 30-something touchdowns and 10 picks, and since week 8, he's put up better – He's been better than Aaron Rodgers was at that point in time last year. The guy he replaced.
Well, that's big words from Stu.
And Aaron Rodgers is the top three quarterback all time, in my opinion. So you want to talk about
– Stu still thinks Aaron Rodgers had a better season, though.
No.
All around.
Listen, you want to talk about Jordan Love. I get it, dude.
It looks great.
I get it. It was like 2015 Big 12. Those receivers were wide open, all that kind of stuff. But my point is, like, he still looked good. He looked damn good. My boy looked damn good. And there was not an answer on the other side. I think this is more of an indictment, Mo, in my opinion, on Mike McCarthy. And I'm not shocked about this because, with the exception of, like I just mentioned, one run where you had the top three quarterback of all time who went on a magical run and won a Super Bowl, you had some really good rosters the year after, 2 years after, 3 years after, and he's done this time and time again with Green Bay, and now we've seen it the last, I think, 4 years has he been with Dallas, something like that. We've seen it the last 4 years with Dallas. Mo, since this one hit you a little close to home because you're the Cowboy fan, I'll let you comment on it next.
Then I'll talk about Green Bay. That's fair.
Bro, the Cowboys suck, bro. I'm going to be honest. Like, you got to blow it up. You got to blow it up. There's some divorcing that has to happen. And you got some expensive, like, you could get a lot of alimony in these expensive divorces. Like, that got to go. Mike McCarthy got to go.
Oh my.
That's a different conversation for a different show. But
I'm just, that got to go. Mike McCarthy got to go.
Yeah.
You got to evaluate if you can deal with 5 years of Micah Parsons. And if not, you got to trade him. If not, you got to sign him to that fifth-year option.
That's not a bad idea.
And I'm going to be honest, the only reason I say that is I love Micah Parsons. I think he's a great player. I think also, though, he is about to be a player. He is one of the faces of the NFL. He's one of the faces of defense. Now he's about to get that bag. He's really about to be one of the faces of the league. He has a personality. He got a podcast. I don't care nothing about his podcast as far as him having it as a player. It doesn't bother me. But sometimes the antics, sometimes the storylines that he's fed, yep, that you've already seen, You know, you don't know what else he going to say through the rest of the offseason. Like, could he talk his way where you're like, all right, man, like, can you deal with that for 5 years? Because it's only going to get worse. Like, if it's annoying now, it gets worse later because he's only going to be bigger, faster, better. You know, he's going to hit that all-time status, be all pro every year. Like, so you really got some expensive alimony that you could really get rid of. But, I mean, you could blow it up and really just keep CeeDee Lamb. Or you could trade him too. And I was like, nah, I'm going
to
be
just wanting to he wants to go back to Quincy Avery being his quarterback.
No, whoever it was. Listen to me. There's way too many talented young guys available. There's way too many guys that are going to be entering the draft for me to just sit here and watch this core of guys be a first, second round exit at best for the next 5 years while all being exuberantly paid. Because they are all paid what they're worth. Dak's going to get paid what he's worth if he stays. CeeDee Lamb is going to get paid what he's worth if he stays. Diggs already got paid what he's worth, and he's staying. We're going to pay Michael Parsons. So that's going to be your core right there. And you're going to have to build around the rest of them because they all very expensive positions right now in the league. So, and if this the best you're getting out of them right now, people typically don't always get better after payday. They usually deplete a little bit.
Yeah.
Seen it with your own eyes with DeMarcus Lawrence. You've seen it with your own eyes with Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Like you've seen it with your own eyes as an owner with Quentin Jerry Nelson. Everybody that you've paid. But like you've seen it from the eyes of an owner for your team. Yeah. Like you paid guys, you've had to try and renegotiate contracts or cut them. And they have been guys that are very key to successful seasons, but none of them amount to anything except first or second round playoff exits. You did it with Romo. You did it. Like, how long do you commit to guys before you just be like, all right, at some point, this isn't going to work. And we have to have some tough conversations. But we also understand, like, we have some assets. They are very, very valuable. And we start evaluating our relationship and what our relationship looks like after that five-year, $180 million, $190 million, $200 million deal. Whatever you about to sign each every one of those individuals, you got to think, will I be really committed to him in year four or five of that contract? 4 years from now, do I really see him being here, being a part, and me loving him? And if you be like, no, he's got to go. And the thing is, they all got expensive price tags. So you could get a lot of capital and some young talent, and you just kind of rebuild the thing. I know Jerry don't want to hear that, but this is the result. You had everything handed to you. I'm sorry. I'm almost done. You had everything handed to you. They gave you two home games. They gave you the division in two home games, guaranteed. That means you were undefeated at home. You haven't lost since week one of last season at home. You've been 16-0 since then at the crib. They gave you two home games. They bought you your first appearance since 96 or whatever to a free NFC Championship game. They gave you the tickets to the NFC Championship game, the Levi Stadium in San Francisco. Like they gave you the tickets to go. And this is what y'all produce in a realistic season where Dak had an MVP-like season. CeeDee Lamb was arguably the best wide receiver in the league. We know Michael Parsons is one of the three or four best edge rushers in the league, but all of those ballers had outstanding seasons. So I don't care where you rank them in the top five. They're just all top five when it comes to edge rushers with Garrett, Watt, Parsons, Crosby. I don't care where you put them. There's like five of those dudes. But like this is what they capped out as. When everything was handed to you, when your quarterback was playing MVP-like football, you're a superstar on defense, you got multiple stars on defense, Deron Bland leading the league in interceptions, you know, might win Defensive Player of the Year, made first team All-Pro at corner, lit the world up with that. Everybody got a problem with that. Like Dak, second team All-Pro, CeeDee Lamb, first team All-Pro wide receiver, Zach Martin, first team All-Pro lineman. Like, bro, this not only was the talent, everybody was having some of their best seasons of their career. You thought like, man, this was Tony Pollard was looking good enough, but like everybody was having some of the best seasons of their career. And it comes into, you got smacked. You didn't even lose a tight game because maybe they punched you in the mouth. You recovered. And now it's a dog fight. Hey, losses like that happen, bro. You let Jordan Love and them coming in to your crib and take your head off immediately. Yep. They got the ball first, punched you in the mouth, and you never recovered. They just kept knocking you out. By round 12, you really shouldn't have been standing. Some people may think you were standing, but you wasn't. You slept walk through four quarters of football. Like, that's what happened. You basically slept walk through four quarters of football. That's how bad you got beat. So if this is the end result with guys of their best season at the best positions that you need in football to succeed, you got some of the best O-linemen. You got one of the best wide receivers. You got one of the top five quarterbacks of the year, at least for this year. You got a top corner. While your top corner was hurt, then you got another one who's known to be great in Stephon Gilmore. Everything was in place. DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, you walk in as healthy as a great team could walk in. There was no real major injury. Diggs went down at the beginning of the season. But, like, you walked in with pretty much everybody ready to go. From your offensive line, this was the healthiest you've been all year. Like, this was supposed to be the message. At home, send a message. We don't care who you give us next either because it's at home. And I think they all knew that was supposed to happen. And just when they got punched in the mouth, they never answered. And Dak threw picks, man. You played almost outside the San Francisco 49ers game. You play almost flawless all year. And then here you go in the playoffs. See, this is why I can't defend Dak no more. I love Dak, but I can't defend him no more. I can't do it.
All right, Jeff, you're up, Jeff, real quick. And then we
got pretty much covered the Cowboys. I just want to shout out to Green Bay, showing up ready, played fast and aggressive the entire time. Everything that Mo said, the Green Bay didn't care, obviously, about the Dallas Cowboys. Jordan Love took advantage of every, like, open shot and big play, and, you know, it made great decisions. You know, they had Dallas on their heels from get-go. Most of it was just the energy and the effort that they started the game with, and you could see that, like, it's hard to say it any other way, that Dallas wanted no part of it. Like, you could see it in their face. You could see it in their body position. You could see everything that they were like, man, we thought this was going to be easier, and they could not mentally recover, and Green Bay was like, we got you. I was very impressed with this Green Bay team, though, and I will talk about it, but, I'm optimistic about them heading, you know, for the future.
I really thought for a minute that zero started to look like a two. I couldn't really tell, you know, watching Jordan play for a minute. But, you know, all right, we're kind of run through this Tampa Bay Eagles game.
Terrible.
We should just call it the weekend of Stu's boys because they balled, dude. Goff balled. We had CJ Stroud balling. We had Jordan Love balling, and my boy Baker balled. Man, what a weekend for my boys, huh? What a weekend. But real quick, we'll kind of just run through it. I think they kind of just, you know, they fell apart there at the end. This is what happens when you fire a defensive coordinator after you go 10-1. Just saying.
Yeah, but have some pride. Come on, man. Jalen Hurts took a knock this year.
A.J. Brown's melting that team down from the inside. So, you know, those types of things. Real quick, Mo, what are your thoughts on this? And then, Jeff, what are your thoughts? And then we'll get to the picks.
Man, that game sucked. The only person I feel bad for is Jason Kelce, man, because he started to become like one of America's players. Like,
yeah,
you know, the obviously, like, Jason Kelce has been a great center, right? Like, and he's probably going to the Hall of Fame, right? But, like, the emergence of the Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce, and then they played against each other in the Super Bowl. You know, Jason Kelce's already won the Super Bowl. So, like, he's just become, like, and then they got the podcast, so their name popping, and his brother dating Taylor Swift. So, like, just him being out there, like, he's kind of become a personality that a lot of people like. So, I just hate to see a guy, like, that good, that great, you know, man, going out like that got to suck. Like, you had no plans, especially after you just last year reached the Super Bowl. Like, you just went to the Super Bowl, so, like, the goal was, like, let's get back there and win. Let's run it back. And then, like, y'all collapsed. Like, you saw this coming before you played that game.
Yeah.
Like, you saw this before you lined up against the Bucs. You saw what was coming.
They were one of the worst games in the league for – worst games in the league – your worst teams in the league for 2 months. They totally gave no effort in that game. I told my wife, I was like, whoever scores is going to win. Tampa Bay kicks a field goal. She's like, so you're telling me Tampa Bay is going to win? I'm like, yep. Like, 100% they're going to win. You know, and – you know, in all honesty, Baker played a great game. It's another person who took advantage.
3 touchdowns.
Yeah, and I don't care about the stats, though, because if we're going to talk about the stats, and we got to talk about the week before when he
was dialing.
stumbled through Carolina. Like, we can't do both. I'm gonna give him credit for the win though, and taking advantage of big plays, and he missed a lot of throws in like second, third quarter of that game, like he always does.
There were also five drops in the first
quarter. I don't care about it. I'll talk about drops with Baker because he throws the ball too fucking hard over the middle. That's on Baker. You can't be throwing fastballs. Like, you look at the receivers when they drop some of those and they look back like, man, like, you know, I got more to do here than like just I got more to focus on you throwing this ball at 90. Watch it. Go back and look. He's always done it.
Wasn't a problem for the Packers.
What I'm saying is, though, he still played good, and he deserves the credit for the win. Like every other quarterback that won this weekend, he has nothing to apologize for. I'm just not anointing him any better. I still say the same thing I've always said. He's definitely deserves to be a bad starting quarterback in the NFL. Like he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. But but the great job by them in the defense, and the Eagles plum quit 2 months ago.
We'll agree to disagree on Baker. We'll have this conversation for the quarterback countdown later on in the year. Let's do our picks. We're going to start off with the AFC. As much as I love C.J. Stroud, as much as I love the Houston Texans, I'm sorry, but it ends here. Lamar is going to go to his first AFC championship game, I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe it's his first.
Yeah, it would be his first.
As he's also on his way to capturing his second league MVP this year. He's going to have a shot to play for a Super Bowl, and all the teams, including my team, that didn't want him in the offseason because they didn't think he was very good, are now kicking themselves in the arse, wishing they probably would have gotten him. So I'm taking the Ravens in this Texans-Ravens game. Mo, who you taking?
I'm taking the Ravens, man. It's a cool story for Stroud, but, like, anything from here, like, the Texans already had the ultimate success. Like, you won your division, you won a playoff game. With a rookie starting quarterback, rookie head coach, like your season, you had ultimate success. Anything after this, if they won this game, it would be like, oh my God. Like, if the Texans won this game, CJ Stroud is now, he's going to enter Patrick Mahomes conversations like immediately, like that following Monday. The talk is going to be like, are we seeing another Patrick Mahomes right before our eyes right now? He's already in the AFC championship game. But I don't see that because I think Lamar and them, I just think Lamar's on a mission. I think the Ravens are on a mission. They understand the assignment. They understand what's at hand. And it's in Baltimore. I think I would feel a little bit different if it was in Houston. I would think, like, I think Houston could get the upset. In Baltimore, with the crazy weather going on right now and the fact that you're not going to be able to turn this game into a track meet, I don't think. Now, it could be a beautiful day, 60 degrees, sunny. Change the way the game could be played. It doesn't seem like that's going to be possible this week. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens.
All right, Jeff.
Cool story, yeah. Stroud, though.
I'm going to make it plain and simple. I'm taking the Ravens. C.J. Stroud ain't beating nobody outside in January. And I'll stand by that until he proves me otherwise.
The C.J. Stroud hatred continues from Jeff.
There's not hatred. It's just realism.
All right. Probably my most favorite game of the weekend. The one I'm most excited for, Chiefs-Bills. Unless I said it. To start the podcast, I'm going to say it now. I'm not doubting 15 until he gives me a reason to doubt him. I'm taking the future greatest quarterback of all time in Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's going to be Ravens-Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. Jeff, who are you taking?
I'm going Chiefs because I said it. And honestly, I'm going Chiefs because I like what Mahomes and his receiving crews figured out. I think Kelsey's been, like, saving it up for this playoff run with his brother retiring. He's going to understand, like, okay, this ain't guaranteed. You know what I mean? He's going to be focused and realistic. And the Bills just stumble through wins, man. They just don't know how to close out games. They don't know how to step on the throat. They make dumbass mistakes when they're up in a game, and it's going to, and the Chiefs tend to not do that. And I think that it's going to be another one of those games to where, like, Bills fans are going to be like, what happened? Like, how did we lose that game is what I think they're going to say at the end. But I'm with Stu. I'm rolling with 15 until proven otherwise.
All right, real quick, Mo, who you going with?
Man, I'm rolling with 15. Y'all say, right. I'm rolling with 15, man. I'm putting my Chiefs cap on this weekend.
All right.
You're going to wear a whole helmet, too, I heard.
And this is probably this is probably where the end of this chapter of Stu's Boys. This is probably the end of it because I am taking the 49ers. There's a lot riding on this, and we would get more in depth if we had more in time. But you got the 49ers have guys like Kyle Shanahan, who Mo, I don't know if he still does, but at one point said was not a good head coach. He has that riding on him. He still does.
I didn't know Mo said that.
Mo's still technically not wrong.
I said he's overrated.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. He still has a shot. That's still there. You talked all year about how you would have won this game against the Eagles if Brock Purdy was there. Well, now's your shot. I think the 49ers win this one against Green Bay real quick. Jeff, who are you taking?
I'm going with the 49ers because the defense, and I'll tell you why, because they've got so much tape on this Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love can't surprise them like he did Dallas last week. Like, they got to watch it, and they're going to be aware, and they're going to have a plan. I think it's going to be defensively they're going to slow the Packers down. But I do think it's going to be a legit game, and I think we're going to come away with it saying, man, them Packers were for real. But I do think this 49ers – it's another one. I just want to put it out there, just like most of the Cowboys last week. 49ers have to win this game. Like, 49ers don't win this game, the season is an absolute utter failure. So, like, all like pressure is a real thing, and it's on. But I think the 49ers are going to figure it out.
Mo?
49ers.
Dang. All right.
Just 49ers.
And then the end of Stu's boy again. I'm sorry, Baker. I love you. I think you play some of the best football, despite what Jeff says. But I'm going with the storybook ending or the storybook story. Let's keep it going. My guy, my other guy, Jared Goff, gets the upset here. I'm a Dan Campbell fan. The more and more this keeps going, the more I would run through a brick wall for Dan Campbell. So we're going to have the Niners-Lions NFC Championship game. It's 2016 Cubs all over again. Let's count it. It's the Lions, 49ers. Mo, who you taking in this one real quick?
I'm going to take the Bucks.
Ooh, okay. Jeff, who you taking?
I'm going Lions. They're gonna roll Baker up like some Play-Doh. It's over.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't think the Lions want to see the Bucks in a track meet.
Yeah,
I really don't think they want to. And I'm gonna be honest, in a high scoring game, I really don't think they want to see the Bucks in that. You don't want to see a game where we're going Mike Evans versus Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, we don't want to go weapon for weapon. I'm going to be honest. I think the Bucks will get the job done.
All right. Well, he's going to win
if they go weapon for weapon.
He's got the upset, I guess, technically. It's 3-4 seeds, so it's not much of an upset. But I was 4-2. We'll see how I go this week. But real quick before we go, Jeff, I'll start with you. Let everybody know where they can find you, what you're working on, all that good jazz.
Ah, Jeff Neese Sports is back. College season's wrapping up, so the show's going to kind of transfer. We're going to talk a lot of NFL, talk about some my show's all about bigger picture stuff, so like the topics of the week and some more outside the box, thinking. I let these other geniuses, do the analyzing and the breakdown and all that. So, this week I'll be talking about how bad NFL football actually is for someone that loves football right now, and then we'll get into some of the playoff talk.
All right, Mo, real quick, where can people find you? What are you working on? All that good stuff.
Yeah, you can follow me at Mo_Cheese15 on Twitter. Up in Flames will be coming out later this week, talking some NBA, NFL. I'm going to go on my Cowboys rant on my own show in a lot more detail. Probably not as nice either, but I'm gonna let it like way over. I want it to be logical. Like, it's not just going to be I'm mad and da-da-da. That's why I didn't want to do no immediate reaction. Like, I want everything to be sensical. Some of the stuff I said, I'm validating with facts what I said on your show. So, yeah, that's going to be coming later in the week.
I had mine last week with the Dolphins.
I can't wait.
I was a week early.
I can't wait. Hey, I love you guys. You guys are the best. Thanks for coming on doing this. We'll see who's right at the end of the year or at the end of this week, I guess, and who's playing for a shot to go to the Super Bowl. Hey, for those of you listening, just share the podcast, spam it in emails. You know how the saying goes. You know what I tell you to do. Have a good night, good afternoon, whatever it is. You have a good one. And I'll see you all next week. Jeff, Mo, big thank you guys again. And I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you, bro.